How are you guys doing? My name is Elena, and it is so good to be together as a church. Well, welcome to our virtual patio. Why don't you let us know that you're here? Before service starts, why don't you let us know what your favorite quarantine snack has been?
Shame at the You're in the Father's house. Come now, fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious harness, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love.
Turn Psalm 13 says this, O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. And it's so funny that in six short verses, David, the writer of this psalm, goes from anguish and sorrow and anxiety and despair to trusting in God's unfailing love and rejoicing and singing because the Lord is good. And so as I was reading this psalm, I was thinking, well, which is it, David? Are you sorrowful and in anguish, or are you rejoicing? And I think the answer is yes, both. You know, we can be sorrowful and in despair, but we can look back and see how God has been faithful. And his faithfulness in the past, as we look back, can allow us to look forward or even into our current circumstances and know that he is good and faithful, and he's going to be with us in the midst of whatever we're going through. And so as we sing this next song, Goodness of God, let's just look back and remember the times throughout our life where God has shown up and he's shown himself faithful. And let's allow that looking back to just well up trust in our hearts so we might rejoice in God and sing to him because he is good. Let me pray for us. God, we acknowledge your goodness today. We remember your faithfulness, the times where you've shown up and you've been with us in our struggles, in our anxiety, in our moments of weakness. And so we know that whatever we're going through now, you're with us still in it. And so we rejoice in your faithfulness, God. We love you, and it's in your name that we pray.
I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have the goodness of God.
So good to gather together and to lift up the name of Jesus and to focus on the goodness of God. In times like these and chaos seems like it's swirling all around us, to have something to anchor us like the goodness of God is just so refreshing to our souls. And so as times like these come out, we really just want to encourage you to keep trusting in that, to keep focusing on God's goodness and to keep pressing in. And one of the ways that we continue to do that is through giving. Thank you so much for your generosity. There are four different ways that you can give here at New Life. You can text the word give to the number on the screen. You can do so through our app. You can go to newlifepismo.com/give. And you can always just send a check in the mail as well. So thank you so much to those of you who continually do that and to show where you put your trust and faith. It has been so encouraging for us as a church to see that and to see hope echoing throughout our community in that ways and in many other ways, through chalk art, through people reaching out to each other, and especially through our food pantry. There have been so many amazing opportunities that God has brought through this crazy season. Over the past week, we have been able to serve over 200 people through our food pantry. We've also made an additional 50 different deliveries to people and made bags for people who can't leave their house. And one of the coolest things that God has opened up so many doors is we've been able to partner with Lucia Marr. And this week, actually, we were able to go to Fairgrove Elementary as well as AG High School and been able to deliver food to the families there. And so it has just been such a blessing. So thank you so much to all of you who have been a part of that over the last few weeks. It is truly amazing to see God work in such crazy times. And we also want to let you know about a few ways to stay connected, because we are not alone, and we want to make sure that you know that you're not alone either. We have some great things coming up for you to connect online. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., we have an online Bible study, and that has been just a great chance to dive into the Word together. On Friday mornings, David opens up a coffee with the pastor on Zoom as well, get to discuss different topics related to faith and related to this season that we're in. We'd love for you to jump onto that as well. And something also coming up at the end of the month, I think it's April 26th at 6 p.m., our men's gathering is happening. And it's going to be different than it's been in the past because it'll be online, but it's still going to be a great chance to connect with other men of New Life. And if you've never been able to come to one of our men's gatherings before, whether it's work schedule or kids or anything, this is a great chance for you to get involved. It's going to be super fun. You'll get to not only just meet some other men, but there's going to be some fun surprises if you register in advance, newlifepismo.com/men. There's going to be some fun surprises, maybe some deliveries arriving at your door during the meeting. So we think it's really just going to be a great time for men to connect. So we really hope that you'll get involved in that way. And before we jump into the message, why don't you just take a moment to prepare your hearts to hear what God might have for you today.
Hey, New Life, so glad that you're joining us once again for this online worship experience. It's been such a blessing to have you just share with us how God has been moving in your life during this kind of uncertain season. And so thank you for all the text messages and emails and encouraging comments that you have sent our way. We are praying for you, and we are just praying that God is moving in your heart and life. You know, we begin a brand new series today called Unscripted, and I want to begin with asking you this particular question. Have you ever felt like your life has gone off script? For some of us, the last several weeks was maybe the first time in a long time, maybe the first time ever, where our life didn't quite go according to plan. But for many people, it's not just the last couple of weeks. Maybe it's been the last several years. You had an image of what your life was going to look like, and it just hasn't followed the script that you thought it was going to. Maybe it's a relationship that you have had where you thought, hey, this is going in a really good direction, and then all of a sudden, the relationship went off script, and things started happening that you just weren't expecting. In fact, if that is you, just to kind of bring some solidarity to what we are going through and to remind you that you are not alone, why don't you do this? If you have the capability right now on your social media platform and you want to kind of give a thumbs up emoji or type in, hey, that's me on the chat portion, I just want to encourage you right now to share with other people, yep, guess what? Me too. My life has not always gone to script. But here's what I know. Most of us are attempting to follow a plan for our lives. And the reason that I know this is because even somebody that is spontaneous is choosing to live a life towards a plan of spontaneity. In fact, ask a person who is spontaneous if they want to be spontaneous in control of what they do is spontaneous, or if things are just randomly happening to them, it's not as fun to be spontaneous. In fact, we spend a ton of time and energy and prayer and resources and money trying to know how to plan things out so they go according to script. Think about how many of our students right now have planned out their college education and are trying to think about, okay, what college do I want to go to and what classes do I need to take and what are the things that need to happen in order to even get into the right college? Maybe even for some other people, it's we don't just kind of like walk down the street and say, hey, there's a nice person, I'd like to marry them. We actually go out on a date, and then a second date, and then a third date. And we get to know somebody because we want to kind of begin to plan, what is the type of person that I would like to be with? And are they the type of person that I'd like to be with? We have ways of planning a family. We have ways that we think through interviews. If we're a boss getting ready to hire, we bring somebody in. If we're an employee looking to get hired, we go into an interview. And there's this kind of mutual conversation of trying to plan out whether or not this thing is going to work. And so we go even to extraordinary measures to try to figure out God's personal will and God's personal plan for our lives. We spend time in prayer and we seek wise counsel and we say, hey, should I marry this person or that person? Should I live here or there? Should I go to this school or that school? Should I take that job or should I switch directions and take this job over here? And so here again is what I know to be true. At some point, whether because of a decision you have made or an event that has happened in your life, the plan that you have put together, the things that you have detailed, the bullet points you have made will actually go off script. There will come a moment, whether it's an event that happens in your life or a decision that you make, where things won't go as you planned. I can imagine that no one had COVID-19 in their 2020 plans. No one thought that they would be spending quarantine for the last several weeks and not quite knowing when all this is going to end. It wasn't in the script. It wasn't in the plan. Nobody gave us a manual for this. For some of us, nobody gave us kind of a script or we didn't think about not getting into the college or the degree program that we wanted to get into. For some of our high school and college seniors, and even some of our eighth graders right now, they had an image of what the end of their school year was going to look like. They had the friends that they wanted to hang out with, and the senior trips they wanted to go on, and the graduation ceremony, and the prom they wanted to attend, and all those things happened, and all of a sudden, life went off script. You have a plan sometimes for your marriage. And all of a sudden, what you thought was going to happen, when you stood before God and family and friends, and you said, hey, we're going to commit and covenant to one another, an event happened, something took place, an argument took place, and all of a sudden, the marriage went off script. Some of you are looking to plan a family. I know in our lives, we had a five-year plan when it came to kids. We weren't going to have kids for 5 years. So I was going to go through seminary. Things were going to kind of slow down a little bit, or we were going to kind of transition to a little bit more stability before we ever even thought of having kids. A year and a half into our marriage, Lexi Grace came along. And then not too long after that, Drew came along. And eventually our script changed and shifted from a five-year plan to having four kids in 5.5 years. It wasn't what we had planned. Life went off script. And for some of you, this quarantine and COVID-19 experience has forced you to look at your retirement, your 401k, and what you thought you had planned for, and all the things that you were going to be able to do, all of a sudden has changed because you've watched as money that you had kind of placed in that retirement fund has gone down, and you're asking yourself, okay, life has gone out off script. What do I do now? Some of us are thinking about being laid off of job or furloughed, or maybe you've received a diagnosis or something recently that has all of a sudden changed the script that you thought 2020 was going to bring. And you're not quite sure what life's going to look like. And so events are going to happen and decisions are going to take us off script. And when that takes place, I think there's a question that many of us ask. What does it mean when life goes off script? what does it mean? Like, what does it mean when all of this happens? And how do I deal with it at the 60,000 foot view level? Like, how do I begin to understand that life can still be lived even when it goes off script? And really, I want to address four questions that I think happen or people process when their life goes off script. And you might want to write these down or think about them as I say them. But really, four questions that I think are important for us understanding kind of what it means when life goes off script. And I think for many of us, the first question many of us who follow Jesus ask is, where is God in all this? Where's God in all this? I think a second question that we often ask is, what did I do to deserve this? And again, whether you're a follower of Jesus or whether you're checking out Christianity and this whole God thing for the first time, you might have asked yourself this particular question. What did I do to deserve that diagnosis? What did I do to deserve losing my job when other people still have theirs? And you start allowing those questions to surface in your heart and mind. A third question, what do I do now? What should I do now? Now that my life has gone off script, how do I respond? How do I react? What is it that I can do right now? And the fourth question is, can I start over? When life goes off script, when the unexpected happens, when things don't go as planned, many of us ask the question, is it possible to start over? And so over the next few minutes, I just want to kind of begin unpacking not only those questions, but what is God's response to those types of questions in our lives. And so I want to begin with that very first one. Where is God in all of this? When life goes off script, it's something that we often think about. Where is God in all this? And I want you to know that throughout Scripture, it's revealed that when life goes off script, God is still moving. In fact, there's a theological word that we, or framework that we utilize sometimes to think about how God is still moving in the midst of sometimes what can feel chaotic. And it's this phrase, the providence of God. That word providence comes from the root word provide. Pro means to see forward. And vid means on behalf of. And so you might think that that word providence means to kind of foresee or like foreknowledge or to see into the future. But it doesn't. From a theological standpoint and even from a linguistic standpoint, I'm nerding out on you, I know, but this is going to be helpful, I think, for many people. It means to supply what is needed. And so it's that God would go, you know what? I will see to that. Have you ever had somebody like, hey, can you do this for me? And someone goes, yeah, I'll see to that. I'll make sure it happens. And so when we think of this word providence, what we have is these two things coming together. God's vision for what he wants to see happen and his ability and capability to make it possible, to make it come to fruition. And so we can trust that when our life goes off script, that God still has a plan and he still has a story that's unfolding. And we can trust in his providence to make the things, the dream that he had for this creation, the dream that he had for relationship with you and intimacy with his creation, that is still moving forward. It's the vision that God had seen from the beginning. And in the book of Genesis, we see this happening in the story of Abraham. God goes to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. He says, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And so he puts out this promise and this plan of what it's going to look like and what his providence is going to do. And Abraham's looking at him saying, God, there's no way. My life has gone off script. I'm an old man. There is no way that I'm going to have a child at this particular age. But here's the thing about God's providence. God always sees the vision for what he wants to happen, and he will always make it possible. And so at a very old age, Abraham has this child, Isaac. And when he has this child, Isaac, it's like, wow, I can't believe it. God actually made possible what he promised would come to fruition. But then something interesting happens in Genesis chapter 22. God instructs Abraham to sacrifice his son, Isaac. I know if you've never read the scriptures or you're not familiar with God's word, this is going to sound really weird, and I get that. But something that's interesting about this particular story is that we often think about it as in Abraham's obedience. And while that is a part of the story, the main focus of the story is actually on God's faithfulness. God's ability to provide, to move forward when we're not quite sure how he's going to move things forward, God has this ability to move his story forward. And so God instructs Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And so the story begins to unfold about God's faithfulness. Abraham grabs Isaac and he says, hey, we're going to go make this sacrifice to God. And so they get the firewood all together. And then it dawns on Isaac. He's already an astute young man at this particular moment. And he looks at his dad as they're getting ready to go make this sacrifice. He says, where is the sacrifice for the offering? He said, Dad, we got the wood. We got the things that we're going to do to make the sacrifice, but where is the actual sacrifice? And I want you to listen to how Abraham responds. He says, the Lord will provide. So when things feel uncertain, when they go off script, all of a sudden we begin to realize that God is a God who will provide and who will move his redemptive story forward. Regardless of what is happening personally in my life, regardless of what is happening in the world, regardless of kind of who is in power and who is in charge, all of a sudden we begin to realize that God is going to move his redemptive mission and plan forward. And so we know the story that he is moving forward. We know that in Genesis chapter 1, he created for us for relationship with him and relationship for one another. And that we mess that up and sin enters the world and distorts our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. But we know at a pivotal point in human history, God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross to forgive us of our sins, to restore the relationship that God had with humanity. And he raises Jesus from the dead. We just celebrated that last week and we celebrated the resurrection. And we also know that one day God will send his son and he will return and he will make all things new. And so here's the thing as a follower of Jesus. When things go off script in our life, when we're not quite sure of the minute details and the kind of micro level things that are going on in our lives, we can find peace, we can find comfort, and we can find trust in the fact that God is a God who has providence over all of creation, who is moving things forward, and we can trust that just like he sent Jesus, that one day he will make all things new. And so there's a peace that comes upon us. That says, hey, I don't always know the details of what my tomorrow is going to look like, but I know this, that God is moving things forward. And he is a God who we can trust because his character and nature is love. The word says that he is slow to anger and abounding in love. And so we place our trust in him. The second question I think sometimes we wrestle with during kind of these uncertain, kind of off-script times is, what did I do? What did I do to deserve getting laid off? What did I do to deserve somehow getting that diagnosis? And once you, maybe you've checked out for a little bit, and I want you to check back in, because I want you to hear that God is not angry at you. I want you to hear that. God is not angry at you. Sometimes when we start, life goes off script, we start asking ourselves, God, what did I do? How did I mess up? Or we begin to think it's because of something that we did that all of a sudden these things are happening. And I know that I spent years fearful of God and my relationship with God, that somehow he was out to get me because of something that I had done in my past, that this was punishment, that I was going to be punished for something that I did in my past. And I wanna pause there for a moment, because don't get me wrong, there are consequences for our actions. There are consequences for decisions that we make, and we have to live with those particular consequences. But I also know this, sometimes bad things just happen. Sometimes we have to recognize that we live in a sinful and fallen world, and there are things that are going to happen in our lives that are hurtful and difficult and challenging. And so when our life goes off script and something happens that we weren't expecting, and it's hurtful and it's harmful and it's difficult, it's not because God is angry at you. Many times, and I've done this myself, we can spend years being afraid of God rather than allowing God to use the trial that we are going through to become the testimony that he wants to declare through us in this world. In fact, let's take a look at John chapter 9, where we see something similar, a similar kind of conversation being wrestled with. In John chapter 9, starting at verse 2, Jesus is with his disciples, and they come across a man who was born blind. And the disciples say this, "Rabbi," his disciples asked him, "why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?" Jesus responds, "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. "This happened so that the power of God could be seen in him." I think it's, again, sometimes the question that we're asking, God, why is this happening to me? Was it because of something I did? Was it something because of what my parents did? Like, why is this taking place? God, are you punishing me by this happening in my life, by my life going off script? And God says, no, I'm not punishing you, but through this, I will be glorified. Through what you're going through, God is going to be lifted up. And in this particular story, he gets down, he spits on the ground, and he creates mud out of his saliva, and he places that mud on this person's eyes. And he tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And so this gentleman goes down and he washes, and when he washes that mud away from his eyes, he can see, and he's healed. And I began to think about that. Sometimes we are so afraid, we find ourselves hiding, or we find ourselves fearful of that somehow God is punishing us through this particular trial that we are going through, that we miss out on the fact that God is going to move through this and provide healing and restoration and movement in our lives, that he will be glorified through it. Can I tell you something? And again, I know this is difficult news and it's difficult things to wrestle with. But yes, bad things are going to happen in your life. Jesus said it this way, "In this world, we will have trouble." But he also said that he has overcome the world. And so the trial that you are facing can become the testimony in your life that gives God glory. It wasn't in your script. I get it. That diagnosis, that thing that happened, that relationship that ended, that wasn't in your script. And you're not being punished by God for it. But he can take it. When you surrender it to him, he can take that and it can become a testimony of his goodness and grace and mercy and forgiveness and love for you in your life. The third question that we often ask ourselves when life goes off script is this: what should I do? Like, what is it that I should do now? And I want to encourage you in something. I think we need to keep focused on the declarations that God has given us, his ways, rather than the destination of where we thought we were going. We need to focus in on what God has declared in his ways and his promises, rather than the destination or the thing that we think isn't going to happen anymore. And so a question that most of us are asking when we say that, what should I do, is about God's personal will for our life. Things aren't going like we thought. And we're asking ourselves this question: did I miss out on something? Because I took this job instead of that job, because I married this person instead of that person, because I moved here instead of there, am I missing out on something? And I want you to know something. So many of those types of questions come from a myth that has been created in our culture, that there is just kind of like this one pathway or this one thing. And if you miss out on that one thing, then all of a sudden your life is going to be destroyed. And there's so many people that are filled with anxiety because they're going, should I go to that college or that college? Because if I go to this college, I was supposed to go to that college, then my life is going to be ruined. I'm going to get really honest with you. Can I just tell you something? You and I are not that powerful. You and I are not that powerful to somehow make one decision and mess up the whole human race. Because think of it this way. If who you are married now and you were like, oh man, maybe I should have married this person, I should have married that person, maybe I should have taken this job and not that job. If you think you're that powerful, then everybody who was, you know, if you married the wrong person, then the person that that you married the wrong person, the person that person was supposed to marry married the wrong person, the person that took the job that you were supposed to take took the wrong job also, and you have jacked up the whole human race. Guess what? Take the pressure off. You're not that powerful. Now, I thank God for the planners in our world. I thank God for the planners in my life. But sometimes the plan that we want to come to fruition, the plan that we think has been scripted and that's the way life is going to go, can become the obstacle. Because we become so invested in the plan that the moment things go off script, we are filled with anxiety. Or we're so worried about the plan not coming to fruition that we become paralyzed with fear. Can I just share something that I think is important when it comes to this type of idea? Sometimes we spend time trying to decipher God's concealed ways when he has already given us his revealed declaration. Sometimes we spend time trying to decipher his concealed ways, the kind of personal will, like, God, what should I do in this particular moment? He's saying, hold on, before you even get to that destination, before you even make that decision, I am way more concerned that you follow my ways and my commands than I am whether or not you choose that job or that job. Because if you are not in my ways, and if you are not following me, and your heart isn't surrendered to me, and you are not loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and it doesn't matter where you end up because you will mess it up anyway. And so sometimes when our life goes off script, it's an opportunity for us to ask some questions about, is my life in God's ways? I can't control all the circumstances right now, but what I can do is control my response to those circumstances, and I want the response of my life to be in line with what God has called me to do. And I think sometimes the reason why we spend kind of an exorbitant amount of time trying to figure out kind of like this concealed way or will of God is because we are frustrated, and sometimes we are scared, to be quite honest, to be able to walk in God's ways. In fact, sometimes we look at God's ways and we say, you know what, God, I will consider walking in your ways, but I will also consider all of these other options also. God did not reveal his revealed ways just so we could consider it. He revealed it so that we might align our lives with his ways, we might walk in his ways, and that by walking in obedience, it would lead to life. Back in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, it says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding in all your ways." In all your ways. Some of us need to double and triple and quadruple underline. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I think I want to just take some pressure off you today, because some of us, again, this is an area where we wrestle with, because when our life goes off script, we're like, man, did I mess up? Did I miss out on God's will for my life? If you are walking in God's ways, listen to me. If you are walking in God's ways, then you will always be in his will. Let me say that again. When you are walking in his ways, when you're honoring him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, when you're loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, when you're walking in his ways, you will always be in his will. I shared with somebody one time, we were driving from my parents' house in Columbus back to our home in Detroit, or just outside Detroit. And as we were driving, my kids woke up, and we were just kind of coming over this hill where you would see the skyline of Detroit. And my son looked at me and said, "Dad, are we in Michigan?" I said, "Yeah, we're in Detroit." And he said, "But Dad, are we in Michigan?" And I said, "Son, we can't be in Detroit and not be in Michigan. And you can't walk in God's ways. If you are walking in God's ways, you will always be in God's will." The final thing that I think sometimes we wrestle with when our life goes off script is this question: can I start over? And I think it's a pivotal question for us to ask ourselves, and we wrestle with it, and we begin to look back at our life, and I know I've done this with mine, and I think, man, if I could just go back to that decision, I could just tear out that page from my script, or that decision I made that made my life go off script, that I could just tear that out. And here's what you need to know. Your story is your story. Your story is your story, and there is nothing that we can do to go back and just miraculously change or rip out the pages of our story from our lives. But I also want you to know this, that there comes a moment when you have a decision that you can make when your life is off script and you can pivot to a better ending. Your story is your story, and it may not have begun like you thought it was going to, and it may not have kind of include some difficult moments in those first several chapters, but with God's help, you can pivot to a better ending. And so when you're thinking about your life and it goes in decisions that you have made and it goes off script, God offers you an opportunity to make a pivot. And in that pivot that you can actually move to God's plans and you can move into what his desires are for your life. I love watching my sons play basketball, and they both, you know, are learning the game. And one of the things that they've learned about the game is that sometimes when you drive in one direction, all of a sudden defense collapses. And when the defense collapses, all of a sudden your way forward becomes completely shut. And yet they've learned a specific basketball move where they plant their foot and they spin on that foot and they pivot the opposite direction. And because the defense has moved in one direction, all of a sudden there's a way forward going the opposite way. The Bible is actually filled with story after story after story of individuals who were going down a path of destruction, going down a path of hurt, and going down a path of pain, and going down a path where they were not only disconnecting themselves with their relationship with God, but hurting their relationship with other people. And in a moment, they chose, instead of keep going in that direction of hurt and pain and suffering, they pivoted and accepted an invitation from Jesus to move their life in another direction. You have the story of Matthew, who is, Jesus comes along, and Matthew is a tax collector, one of the most hated individuals in that particular time. And Jesus comes along and says, Matthew, I know you've been a tax collector. I know you've basically cheated out these individuals in your community out of all kinds of money, but here's your pivot chance, Matthew. You can go another direction. Come and follow me. Zacchaeus, another tax collector in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, is trying to peer in and see what Jesus is all about. And so he climbs up into a sycamore tree, and Jesus is walking along, and he notices Zacchaeus. And his pivot moment comes when Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I want to go to your house today. And Zacchaeus climbs down from the tree, invites Jesus into his house. And all of a sudden, Zacchaeus's life is radically transformed. The Apostle Paul, who has written literally the majority of the New Testament, was a persecutor of Christians. And Jesus encounters Paul on the road to Damascus, and his eyes are blinded. And in that blindness, all of a sudden, Jesus begins to reveal a pivot moment for Paul's life. And in that moment, all of a sudden, his eyes are cleared. And the scripture says the scales fall off his eyes and he sees a new way forward. And Paul pivots from being a persecutor of Christians to be one who would tell people about the good news of Jesus throughout the world. And so you have these pivot moments. And so in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, I want to remind us of something. That when Jesus invites us to have that pivot moment, that when our life has gone off script and we have this opportunity to shift our life, he says this, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. And so God offers us this pivot moment. Our life might have gone off script. We might have made decisions that led us in a particular direction, but you don't have to stay there. Your beginning right now might not look very good, but man, can God give you an incredible ending to your script? As I was thinking about this, I thought, man, quarantine's really given us an opportunity to ponder these types of pivot moments. The number of people who have reached out to myself or a staff member or a friend in our church and said, you know what, I haven't really thought much about God in a long time or maybe ever, but this whole quarantine thing has got me asking spiritual questions about who God can be in my life. And I want you to know that if that's you, if you're asking those types of questions, this could be a pivot moment for you in your life. And for some of us, it's that life was so focused on ourselves or so focused on our schedule or the busyness or all that type of things. And quarantine has literally, it made our life go off script. But when our life went off script, all of a sudden we have a pivot moment that we can make a decision of whether or not we're going to go back to the way things were before or whether we're going to embrace a new way of thinking and being with Jesus. Or maybe for some of us, when quarantine happened and life went off script, we were just one moment away from a bad decision that was going to ruin everything. One moment away from a bad decision that was going to ruin our family. One moment away from a bad decision that was going to lead us back into a life of addiction. One moment away from a bad decision that was going to ruin our integrity and cost us our job and cost us the dream that God had given us. And so when your life went off script, when things changed, God's given you the gift of a pivot moment. So let me encourage you to not waste that gift. To embrace it and ask yourself, God, what does it look like for me to pivot in this particular moment? What does it look like to allow this unscripted moment of my life to become a way forward where, God, I might see you work and move in my life in ways I would have missed out on had my life not gone off script? Can I pray for you today? Heavenly Father, we come to you, God, and we just ask that you would be with every single person who is listening in at this particular moment. That God, I virtually say that every single one of us at this point in our life have had that feeling that our life has gone off script, that this has changed things. And God, no matter what type of question we are asking, whether we're asking where you are in all this, God, whether we're asking ourselves, God, what does it look like to walk in your ways in this particular moment? Whether we're asking ourselves, God, is this a pivot moment for me? God, no matter where we are, God, would you just guide and direct and order our steps? God, I pray for the person who maybe is now seeing this quarantine, this pivot moment as a gift to them to come back to you. God, would they know that all they have to do is to cry out for you? That God, you will help them pivot their life from a life of hurt and destruction and bad decisions to a life that you say brings life and life to its fullest. And so God, we love you and we thank you how you provide. We thank you for how you move in our lives. We thank you, God, for how you give us fresh starts. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, thanks again so much for joining us for this online worship experience. And may you be confident of this. Even if your life feels like it's gone off script, be sure of this, that he who had began a good work in you, he will be faithful to complete it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And amen. Grace and peace to you.